My sermon today is, how do you want to be remembered? As we think here this Memorial Day weekend, if you were to think, how do you want to be remembered? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give me the words to speak, that the words that I would share with these people would be the words that you would want me to share, and not words of my own, but of yours, that they would be led by you. Lord, I pray for the people here in the congregation that will be hearing these words. Lord, I pray that it would be an encouragement for them, that it would enlighten them and encourage them to maybe address issues that they have in their own lives, Lord. Lord, I just pray that you would be here in this precious time that we have to share your word. And we just thank you in Jesus' name, amen. We have all lost loved ones. I'm sure there's ones that we want to be reunited with that we think of come these holidays and other holidays or birthdays. And we hold dear to those memories that we have of that person. A lot of times during a funeral service, there's a time of sharing about those people and memories that you have of them and how precious they are. It's one of those things that even as people are gone on, have drawn their last breath, those memories of those people we still have. It's a great hope that we have in Jesus Christ to be reunited with them someday. And just all those different stories that we have of those people and memories, experiences that we've had with them, or maybe wisdom that they shared to us. We think also of the sacrifices of our military families. But today I want you to think, when you draw your last breath, what do you want people to say about you? Someday we will all draw our last breath. And we're going to let a legacy behind us. And what do we want that legacy to be? And even more than that, what does God want our legacy to be? I think there's a lot of things that God's word tells us about what we are supposed to be as Christians. I actually had a hard time cutting it down to only the verses that we are going to look at here today. But recently I heard a story about a family vacation. This mom and dad and their two boys went on vacation. They went to the beach. And the father and the two boys were out in the water swimming around like most people that go to the beach, they do. And the next thing, there was this mother of these two boys was screaming frantically as her two young children were being ripped out by the tide. On the shoreline, there was a woman standing there. Quickly, she jumped into action, swimming out to rescue these two boys. She gets out there and grabs one in each arm, trying to swim back with just her legs, and she can't make it. There was somebody on the rock pier, and he dives in to help. Helps to rescue this woman and these two children. As they all get into shore, they start saying about this woman being a hero. And she says, "No, I'm not a hero. I just did what I've been trained to do. I'm a lifeguard. That's what I know. I just... automatically reacted. I dove in and I went after these two boys. But I couldn't swim. I could not stay up with just my legs. The real hero is this man that jumped in to help us all." This man says, "No, I wasn't a hero. I was just at the right place. But this woman that first went in was 8 months pregnant that went out to rescue these two young boys. I can guarantee you that this woman will always be remembered for what she did by many that day. What is it that we are going to let behind? What things are we willing to do as a sacrifice? You think about this woman on the beach. Yeah, she was a trained lifeguard. But you know what? She could have easily stood on that beach and nobody would have thought anything about it. Nobody would have held it against her and been like, oh, well, you were trained. Why didn't you jump in? Who would expect a woman that is pregnant in this condition to dive in to rescue two other children? These are the legacies that we can let behind. Many times it's not things that we can plan ahead for. They just happen and we respond to them. But in our own lives, are we going to respond and make a difference? Or are we going to stand on the shorelines and wait for somebody else to do it? I want to turn to Matthew chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. It says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are you salt? Do people notice that you are different when you come in contact with them? Do they realize that you are a different person because of what Jesus Christ has done in you? You know, if you put salt or spices on your food and you don't notice any kind of a difference with it, would you continue to put that salt and spices on your food? Are we as Christians truly making a difference when we come in contact with people? When we come in contact with our family, do they notice that you have changed? Or maybe with your friends or coworkers and your neighbors? When they come in contact with your life, do they taste Jesus Christ in you? Do they see that difference, or do they think that you just claim to be a Christian and yet you live your life the same as you always have? Does your light continue to shine even when things are hard, or you don't feel like being a light into this dark world? It is in those hard times that people will notice your light the most. It's in those times when you're going through trouble and hard times and you stay faithful to the God of this, of creation, that people will notice and realize how true your God is. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We are called to not love this world. It's a very difficult thing to be called to do. There's many things that catch our eye, pride in our lives that we see, But God's word points out the contrast of loving this world and the love of the Father. Both of them do not exist together. It is a choice that we can make, one or the other. We are either going to love the Father or we will love the world. We will serve God or we will serve this world and the things that we think we can temporarily gain. When we look at the world, it has a lot to offer, at least from our human eyes. The world is beautiful. It's hard for us to imagine anything else. I love the Lord's creation. I love traveling and seeing new things, the beauty of this world. But yet it can't compare to anything like heaven will be someday. This world offers to us the lust of the flesh, also the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. So often we see how people think they've done this or they've done that, and yet there is nothing that we can do without God allowing us to do those things. These same things that we see that the world offers to us is the same things that Satan tempted Jesus with in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. We can see that Jesus was able to overcome those temptations the same as we can overcome those temptations as well. Do you know, as Christians, we should expect the world to hate us? It's kind of a harsh truth. I think for a long time now, it's a truth that many churches and many Christians aren't willing to accept, that this world will hate us. I'm going to turn back to John chapter 15, 17 to 27. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. It's not hard to recognize that the world hates Jesus. You don't have to listen to much going on out there and anything about Jesus, and the world hates it. They've been trying to destroy his story since he walked this earth, and they're not able to do it. God's word has been burned throughout the world, and yet we still have it. People have been persecuted and put to death because of their faith in Jesus Christ, and people continue to believe. Just like the world hated Jesus, the world will also hate us for following Jesus. Look at what the world did to our master, Jesus. They hung him on a cross. How can we, as servants to the master, expect anything better than what he received himself? If you truly follow and serve the Lord, this world will hate you. For too long, Christians feel they need to be loved by people of this world. It seems they will do anything and everything they can to get everybody to love them. But God's word speaks much differently. Because if we read verse 17, we are commanded to love one another. We are not commanded to be loved by all. I want to make sure that you get that. We are commanded to love one another. We are not commanded to be loved by all. Jesus Christ walked this earth and he loved every single person that was here on this earth. You think as he went to the cross and they were nailing him on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That is love. But he didn't say that they can do whatever they want to and it'll be okay. Jesus went to a cross to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven. Not that we can forget and say that sin isn't sin. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of Christians are. They're afraid to call sins sins because somebody might not love us. And we are not commanded to do those things. We are commanded to love one another. You know, when people go against God's word, and they think that they're showing love to that person by not standing firm on truth of God's word, there's no love in letting people live in sin and not telling the truth. Because someday, a judgment will come for them and for each one of us. And is it truly love to allow that person to never be told about what Jesus Christ did for them on a cross so that they could be forgiven of their sins? You know, if we don't tell the world and the unbelieving, they will spend all of eternity in hell. I don't think that's love. God's word has commanded us to love one another. Sometimes that love is hard. As parents, you know, many times punishing your children is not fun. It's hard. But it needs to be done because they need to know what is right and what is wrong. Our Heavenly Father needs to do the same thing to us. Recently, I was very frustrated. I was mad and upset. I was coming home from work, and I had the radio on, and there was these two women that were talking back and forth. It was a news broadcast or whatever. And this one lady was running an abortion clinic. It was in the news because of the whole Roe versus Wade and the possibility of it being overturned. And this other lady was interviewing her and asking her questions. And this lady said, "The problem is these evangelical Christians, they're terrorists." And I was furious because how can I be called a terrorist by somebody that supports killing children? And yet I'm the terrorist. And when that first hit me, I was mad. I'm like, how can they say that? And then I was reminded of these verses that the world will hate us. And it gave me comfort to realize that maybe as Christians, it's time that we finally stand up on the truth. And we show love to these people. We do what we can with women that are in that crisis. We let people know that have made that choice that there is forgiveness as well in Jesus Christ. I think a lot of times as Christians, we fall short on that. We preach how bad abortion is, and it is terrible to take the life of somebody. God's word says that you shall not murder. But we also have to let people know that have made that choice that there's forgiveness for them as well. It gave me comfort knowing that this world is going to hate me for the things that I believe in. It really shouldn't be a surprise to us. So if you're hated by this world, so if you are not hated by this world, are you not salty? Not a light into this dark world? Is that because you are just content with your own salvation? Or maybe you're not even saved at all? God has called us to be much more than just that. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 11. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things. That's not the verses I want. I think I wrote down the wrong thing. All right. But anyhow, the God of this world talks about the God of this world, and it's a small g for the God. It is not God the Father. The God of this world is Satan, and he has blinded the minds of unbelievers. It's why the unbelievers don't understand. And they have that hatred so much for us because Satan has blinded them. We have to try and open up their eyes so that they can see. That they can see that it is the love of Christ and the love of God the Father. With Satan being the God of this world, what else should we expect when we have Jesus in us than to be hated? We will face all kinds of troubles, problems, hard times, persecution. We will be cast down, but not destroyed. But we can have hope in the fact that the Spirit in us is greater than all these troubles in this world. We should feel like pilgrims or strangers just passing through. This place is not our home. It's just a stepping stone from here to heaven. We need to live our lives honest and true because the rest of the world is watching us. As I prepared this sermon, I was down at the river yesterday and there was two young boys. They were brothers and they were playing together. And I thought how the one boy really watched the other one. The older boy, he found a board that was laying there, and I think it was covering possibly a hole. And if the boy would come over and stomp on it, it made this noise. And it didn't take very long. That little boy would come over and push the bigger brother off of it so he could stomp on it. He wanted to make that noise. And it was back and forth. You know what? The world is watching us just like that little boy was watching his bigger brother. And when his bigger brother was making that noise, he wanted to imitate that and go and do it just the same. You know, when we have the love of Christ in us, this world will see it. They will see that there is something different in you, and it'll be something that they want as well. A closing thought. Guess what, Christ followers? The world is watching. What kind of Jesus are you showing them? What kind of Jesus is the world seeing in you? When you claim to be a Christian and you go out into this world, what is this world seeing in you? When you draw your last breath, do you want to be remembered as the salt? In the light? Or do you just want to be remembered as the person that got along with everybody and really didn't make any difference and stood on the sidelines? Let us close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you have given us, Lord. I pray that this word has touched these that are here in these pews, Lord. I just ask that you would be with each and every one of them. Lord, many are stepping into new situations in life, Lord, and I just ask that you would be with them, you would lead and guide them. Lord, we know that you have a will for each and every one of our lives, and Lord, I just ask that we would be obedient to your will, and we thank you in Jesus' name, amen.